and then it makes them understand, okay, it's all right to screw up, but here's how you recover. Because that's a huge piece, is recovery for young people. Is, I mean, sure, we'd love everybody to do everything perfect, but how often does that really happen?
Right. Hey, it's Zach, and I need to interrupt a moment because we are doing an incredibly exciting thing that requires your participation. Once a month, we will be featuring a teacher challenge on an episode and attempting to tackle the challenge between the four of us on the show. We want to hear from you about the challenges you might be facing in your classroom this year. Every teacher featured will receive a gift card, and at the end of the school year, we will draw a name randomly from all those who shared to award a $100 gift card. To share a challenge and earn a chance to win, simply call our number and leave a message. That number is 616-965-6606. Again, 616-965-6606.
This is Transforming Learning.
Welcome back to Transforming Learning. This is Pete Grostek, and I'm here with Zach Ripley. In today's episode, Zach, Eric Cliff will be speaking with Jeff West, a band teacher over at Lakeshore Public Schools in St. Clair Shores, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Zach, what can you tell us to lead us up to this episode?
Yeah, you know what I find really interesting here, Pete, is Jeff, he's a band teacher, so he's going to talk about the context of his ideas in terms of band, but he focuses a lot on technology, which is not super common in music education today. And Jeff also, he has his own podcast, and I want to make mention of that now because he'll bring that up. It's a great additional way to connect with him. But just as an individual, one who likes to consider new ideas and share new ideas, and you're going to hear that in his conversation with Eric.
Please enjoy Eric and Jeff.
Well, listeners, I'm joined here with Jeff West, a high school band teacher,
Hello.
Music teacher at Lakeshore High School in St. Clair Shores, Michigan. Jeff, thanks for being on the podcast with me today.
Thanks for asking me.
So, Jeff, we're in your office back here in your band room, and I see a
my little cubby hole
lot
of storage
different equipment. Yeah. You got all sorts of stuff back here, really wanted you to, I was hoping to get you on the podcast because wanted to have a variety of different opportunities for our listeners to get some ideas from, and you've been teaching music for how long here at
the high school? I think we're at this high school I've been in 17, and this is 27 total, though, for me.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great, and you've got your master's in educational technology, and you've been integrating mm-hmm. technology in a variety of different ways.
Right.
And so, Jeff, maybe if you could share with our listeners, what are just a couple of things that you've experienced, that you've brought in that have been transformational, if you will, in your classroom, or have helped maybe to transform what you're doing in your classroom?
Probably the biggest impact individually would have to be things like Screencastify or any type of video recording sharing so that they could see what they're doing.
Yeah.
I can see that changed the whole playing test, the whole audition process for me.
Yeah, so maybe if you could share that, because we've had some other podcasts where teachers have talked about kind of flipping their instruction with screencasting tools and
mm-hmm.
Getting student understanding, but yeah, you're using Screencastify specifically, or having the students use it. Can you explain kind of the use of that in your classroom?
Probably the most successful has been Screencastify. Chromebooks, of course, have the video recording, and sometimes that buffers a bit, depending on the device, or then to try and upload it, to say turn it as an assignment. But particularly Screencastify into Google Drive then and sharing the link, or I've shown many students how to share it right to YouTube to create their own channel and and to unlist their link so they can only, it'll only be there if they want someone to see it.
Yeah.
But I've used Screencast-O-Matic.
How have you used those, and then maybe can you share how do your students also use those?
I think primarily my students have used them for assessments or assignments. I'll give them in guitar class or in any of my performance classes assignments to play and turn in playing this exercise and make sure you say your name, and you know, I always have the same thing and what exercise it is, just in case. Sure. For me, I've done a fair amount of where I'll create a slides and embed it, but then I'll create a video of me playing along with them, so they can, or instructing through. I mean, I think we've probably all seen the slide presentations where someone talks through it to us about thing, or a screencast.
Yep.
But I usually create the a slide deck, and then I do a lot of linking so they can jump around in it as they need to.
Okay.
And then I create a video for each of the slides. And I like to leave in, the thing I've started to embrace a little bit more is leave in my mistakes. Because I think kids need to see that, and then it makes them understand, okay, it's all right to screw up, but here's how you recover, because that's a huge piece, is recovery for young people. Is, I mean, sure, we'd love everybody to do everything perfect, but how often does that really happen?
Right. Yeah.
And you got to be able to fix it right away.
What invention, what book has ever been written or created the first time?
Right. Yes.
So,
yes.
So yeah, you're actually modeling that. I mean, it's
right
live as you're recording it.
Yes.
But
yeah.
Leaving that in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And for a while, I experimented with doing like a morning walkout using my phone of things I was thinking about to my kids, and it was very engaging. They loved it, but it was difficult for me to manage and remember to do it. You know, I get to school and I go, ugh, I forgot to, because I'd like to do it on my drive in.
Sure.
I'd have my phone hooked up, you know, on whatever thing there on my dashboard, and but I'd forget, so that didn't work out as well.
Okay.
But the times I did it, that was pretty cool. You know, they liked it.
Yeah.
And then I had kids do the same things, then say, we've experimented with some of the other things like Flipgrid or Padlet, or I did a lot just recently with slides where we were doing goal development, and so we're doing more visual things than any video.
Okay.
But building goals so they understand the process.
Yeah.
So kids, because they often, we say, okay, we want to do X better, a very broad topic like tone. I want to sound better.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, focusing a little more on SMART goals and teaching them how to develop a goal that's achievable and measurable, and, you know, all the SMART. We were just doing that here these past few days, and I'm starting to see the light bulbs come on. So I'm expecting that to impact their overall playing, because they'll be able to to judge themselves much, much quicker and evaluate and set a goal and achieve it without going through all the SMART goal steps.
Yeah.
But I had found a lot of them had not had the time or been taught to do that. We've said to our kids, you need to have goals.
The reflection piece.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you, so once you reflect, now what's the next step?
Yeah.
And so they have these broad, huge, you know, expectations. I want to be a professional, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's that look like? You know, what, how are you going to know when you get there? At least for my students, they needed a little more detail in exactly what to do. So between just recording them on my phone, and I played it right back to them, just the audio,
okay,
they can tell where they're at.
Yeah.
They can hear themselves, and right away they start grabbing on to what's good and bad. And then what I'm working with them on now is, what's the next step? Sure, you know that it didn't go well, so
right,
now how do you fix it?
So, yeah, let's go back a little bit if we can.
Mm-hmm.
You said the kids need a little bit more detail. So can you share kind of what's the scaffolded details, really, Jeff, that you've kind of brought in to really increase that reflection piece so that it does stick and stay with them, so that they can work towards these goals effectively?
Well, I think, you know, obviously we discussed the video portion because of the video age and how engaging that is for them, but discussion is huge.
Okay.
And I've tried to foster an environment where everybody feels comfortable sharing, because that hasn't always been the case.
Okay.
And I don't think I felt comfortable when I was in school, you know, sharing.
Yeah.
Unless it was in a music room, because I've always, you know, had kind of been a music person, but
yeah,
you would never hear me sharing in the math room or sharing in the English. I just didn't have the confidence. So, and I think that took a little bit of time, but also the kids are pretty comfortable with each other, so I guess it's kind of both. Then, so with the discussion piece, I found and the reflection is big, and then I try to facilitate more than drive, yeah. I guess. Well, I think the problem, you know, the 21st century skills, particularly the critical thinking and problem solving, and I'm really tuned into that when I see a kid just sitting and waiting for me to tell them something to do. Mm-hmm. That kind of keys me as an educator to go, okay, don't tell them what to do, you know, suggest to them. Because our kids have been, droned. They've been taught that and that's the way. And I don't think that was wrong. It's just that the playing field has changed a bit. We have new tools. So,
Jeff, if people want to reach out to you, what are some ways that they can connect, learn more about what you're doing in your classroom, or even listen to you? There's a little plug for you.
Thank you very much. I have an Old Dog New Tech podcast, and also olddognewtech.wordpress.com is a blog I started. I have email at jwest@shorian.org. That would be through my school, and then we can connect. I have Twitter at edtechjwest is kind of my educational technology one, and then I have one through school that I'll share mostly school stuff on at lsshoreband. Most of those, I'll be honest with you, though, I read what everybody else is doing. I'll share our stuff out or take pictures.
Yep.
That's been... So, yeah, you could get a hold of me any ways.
Good.
Any of those ways.
Well, Jeff, again, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Sharing
Enjoyed it.
Ideas. Listeners, listen to Old Dog, New Tech. New Tech.
That's right.
Throw you a bone there.
That's right. Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
That was Eric talking with Jeff West. And Zach, I really appreciate how Jeff is utilizing technology both for himself, but also leveraging it for his students to really kind of expand their music education. What do you think about connections to other content areas, Zach? How could we use some of Jeff's ideas and kind of port them over to other places?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Pete. I know as I'm hearing Jeff talk, he's talking about band, but he's also talking about some general concepts and ideas as well. So maybe to plug those together for other content areas, I think the first thing that always stands out is when you hear someone talking about goals and students setting goals. That's huge. And we know from John Hattie's work that students self-evaluating and reflecting on things like their goals is very profound. So I hear him talk about how his students set goals and then he helps them understand what it means to be the person who's achieving those goals. You know, what does a professional musician look like if you want to be a professional? Or I want to sound better, so what does that look like? And I think immediately as an English teacher once upon a time that if I want my students to be better writers, or more specifically if they want to be better writers, then we need to understand what it looks like to be a better writer. What does a better writer do? What does better writing look like? And then we start to cross that divide and just check in along the way. And he mentioned his students discussing these things together and with him. And I think that that's a really powerful dynamic, just to be able to sit down and talk about where we are and where we're going. And so I make that connection right away. And I think any subject area will agree that if a student has in their own minds that they want to be better at something, then the teacher can really fulfill that role of helping guide them toward the vision of what that better something looks like. And he mentioned, you know, some tools that help support that. And I think as a teacher today, it's always beneficial to try to leverage those resources. So any subject area can use screencasting and shared collaborative things like Google Slides and such to better achieve those goals.
Zach, as you talk about students looking at professionals in the music arena or writing and looking at professionals and writing, it makes me think of Dave Stewart Jr.'s work with the belonging belief back in episode 62. And that's one of the techniques he talks about, is having older, more polished, in whatever that is, kind of lead the way for students that want to become like that. So in other words, people like me can do this work. And one way to get that is by looking at people that have come before you to do that
people
exact
like
work.
People like me who are doing this work.
That's right.
That's awesome.
That's right.
I completely agree, Pete.
Thanks again for listening. If you haven't yet deduced, at CBD, we believe the best kind of professional growth comes from conversations with other professionals. So we have devoted ourselves to ensuring any educator anywhere can have that opportunity. Our virtual coaching service guarantees that. Check us out on cbdconsulting.com/elevateedu. You can share thoughts with just an email or quick text, or dive right into a conversation by phone or video chat. We look forward to hearing from you.